So I want to discuss with you two ideas, two short ideas. Number one, because this is something very short, the number 52. The number 52, I'm presenting to you everything that's coming from Rabbi Tezner Sefer, Sha'arei Hayomim Hanoiroim. In the back he has here something very interesting about when exactly is the day when Gedalia was killed. Okay, we mentioned before there are three opinions. There is the Turei Evan. The Turei Evan says that Gedalia was killed on the second day of Tishrei. That is his tradition. The Radak in Sefer Zechariah Perek Zayin Pasuk Kei says that the tradition is that he was killed on the first day of Tishrei. And in Seder Olam, the Medrash Seder Olam is explicit that he was killed on the third day of Tishrei. So you have three major sources as to when Gedalia ben Achikam was murdered. And the nafkamina is it a nitcha? And that will have a nafkamina in the severity of the tainus. Our tradition is pretty much to treat it like the Seder Olam. It was killed on Gimel Tishrei, and we are not generally lenient in the tainus, except when push comes to shove or comes to Yoledes, then there are certain situations. And the Seder Olam, what he writes, was very interesting, is that he was killed 52 days after the Churban Habayis. Between Tisha B'Av and Gimel Tishrei, there are exactly 52 days. Rabbi Tezner in his footnote takes note that this number 52 is a very significant number with regard to the Churban, because after the Churban, till the time of Churban, Beitar was exactly 52 years. Bayesheni, talk about the Bayesheni, Churban Beitar, 52 years later, so you see it, Beitar was almost the equivalent of Gedalia. If you think about what happened, myself, a similar button, what happened to Gedalia ben Achikam, he was the last survivor. The community that was living in Eretz Yisrael was the last holdout, the last people that occupied the land after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And with his death, the survivors, they fled to Egypt against the advice of Yirmiyah, and they were all murdered in Egypt, and the land was bottled for how many years? For 52 years, another 52. At the time of the Bayesheni, even though there was a Churban, it was not considered to be the end. Because even though many people were taken, killed, many people were taken to Galus, were taken down to Rome, but there was a Yishuv. There was a Yishuv, and a very significant Yishuv, in fact, in Beitar. And they held the torch. They kept Torah alive. And when they were killed 52 years later, that was really the end. That was the time of the end of the Asara Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Akiva was killed, and it was viewed historically as the very, very end. So the Haruge Beitar is really an equivalent of the murder of Gedalia ben Achikam. I don't know if you go so far to say that when you're going to say the Bracha Toiva HaMeitiv, you're going to find a reference in HaToyva HaMeitiv to Gedalia ben Achikam. That would be an interesting stretch to see if there is such a remez, because the two are parallel one to another. But that's what he says here. And he takes note that the number 52 appears over and over again in this regard. 52 days from the time of the Churban until Gedalia ben Achikam was killed. There were 52 years from the time of the Churban until the Haruge Beitar. The land was shomeim for how many years until they returned? Also 52 years. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that there are 52 letters in the pasuk of Haaretz Chaisa Sova Vov Choshech. I don't look up this medrash, but there's somewhere in the beginning of the Torah there is a pasuk that has 52 letters. I don't know which pasuk it is, and the medrash says those 52 letters correspond to 52 generations from the time of creation until the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How to make that calculation, I do not know, but this is what it says: the Medrash Bereishis Rabasi Parshas Bereishis Isa V'Haaretz Nun Beis Osios Hein Kneged.
The first pasuk
Til V'Haaretz. It's 52 letters. You have to count.
I think
so. Kneged Nun Beis Doiros Mishenivra HaOilam Ad Churban Beis Hamigdash Al Oisa Shon Nemar V'Isi Es Aretz V'Nei Tov Avohu. And that's another 52. So Rabbi Tezner asked the question, what then is another 52, he points out, which is very interesting, in the Hanukkah. how long did the tkufa of the gezeres shmad of Chanukah? Chanukah, there were many gezeros. Kisvul chamal keren hashash ein lam chilek v'lekei Yisrael. The ma'isa with kol hanisays biyom chamishi tibol lehegmoin. Anyone that got married had to be bol lehegmoin. All of the gezeros that we are familiar with from the time of Chanukah, how long did that period last? So it's brought down, it was also exactly 52 years. There were 52 difficult years during the time of the persecution.
So it's a verse is 52 letters.
What?
All right, so Tohu Vavohu was 52 letters.
Which we were for the beginning of the Torah?
Yeah.
Until Tohu Vavohu was 52 letters.
All right, so Tohu Vavohu until the end of the second passage.
The Oretz HaYisasov V'choshach Alpnei Sahom V'choshach Alpnei Hamoyim Alpnei Hamoyim. That's exactly 52 letters.
Right.
So that's what the Medrash says. Those 52 letters correspond to the 52 generations from Ma'aseh Bereishis until the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So he presented, I think, four or five different events relating to Churban that have the number 52. From the time of the Churban until Gedaliah ben Achikam, there were 52 days. From there were 52 years. From the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni until Beitar, there were 52 years of persecution during the time of Chanukah, and there were 52... what was the other one I mentioned? There was another 52 that I mentioned.
Didn't Shmuel HaNavi live for 52 years?
Okay, what's the significance of that? I don't know. Okay, so these are the 52. What is the significance? So what he does say is as follows. He says something very interesting. Is there's a medrash that says that Nachamu Nachamu Ami. All of the punishments that came upon Klal Yisrael were doubled. So too the Nechama as double. I don't remember the details of this medrash, but there are many different psukim in the Tanakh which have a doubling of Nechama. Ki lakha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoisecha. Pasuk in Yeshaya, you have been smitten doubly. Every time Hashem describes and predicts it's going to be punished, it's always described in double terms. Likewise, when there's going to be kapara, it's going to be Nechama, it's going to be doubled. Our sin was double. Chet chato Yerushalayim. Therefore, the punishment is double. Ki lacham yad Hashem kiflayim, and the nechama is going to be double. Nachamu, nachamu, ami yamar elokeichem. So he wants to suggest, Rabbi Tesner, the reason why the number 52 appears all over is because Yud Kei Vav Kei 26 is a Shem Hashem. That's the most important gematria. Gematria double Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem Hashem. Hashem Hashem is 52. Right now we're living in the Yimei Atshuva, and the Yimei Atshuva, the two midos, the Iker midos of the Yud Gimel midos of Rachm is Hashem Hashem. It's only one that is repeated. Ani Hashem Koidem Achet, Ani Hashem Achar Achet, whatever all of that captures. But Hashem Hashem from the Yud Gimel midos HaRachmim, the two lead off midos which are the most important are Hashem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 2 times 26 is 52. So he wants to suggest that is something at least to think about, is that that also is part of the equation, is that even in Churban, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem is always there, even in the most difficult times, the times of Yanochi, Haster, Haster, Panai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is to be found. Okay, that's one topic. The second topic I want to talk about is this week's Haftarah, Shabbat Shuvah, we lay in Shabbat Shuvah. I have over here, open in front of me, an art scroll Chumash. Now, the art scroll Chumash is not a riot to any of the old Chumashim. It is the most complex Haftarah of the year. Why do I say it is the most complex? Because it's broken up into three parts. We learn from Treyasar. Treyasar, there are 12 Sfarim, which are joined together. And in Treyasar, we jump around. We have a section of Shuva Yisrael, which is from Sefer Hoshea. Then there's a section from Sefer Yoel, which in this Chumash begins with the words V'Hashem Nosan Koiloi Lifnei Cheloi. Okay, it starts with Perek Beis and it goes on for many, many psukim. And then, let me just point out that there is a in the middle there's a break point of Tiku Shofar B'Tzion Kadshu Tzoyim Kiru Atzara. That's Pasuk Tezvav. That's we start with Pasuk Yud Aleph, but there's a break point. It was beginning with Pasuk Tezvav. And then there are three psukim in Micha. Mikel Kamoicha Noise Avon Vever Al Peshal the Sheritz Nachalaso. Now you're almost guaranteed, this is almost a guarantee, you go to a shul, there's gonna be confusion. The Gaboim are not at their best. There's gonna be confusion exactly which order to land it in. Should you land first Shuva, Vashem Nosan Koiloi from the beginning, not skip any psukim, and then land at the very end, Mikel Kamocha, the psukim of Mikel Kamocha from Micha. Or should you lane just Shuva Yisrael and just lane Vashem Nosan? Or should you lane, as is printed in many Chumashim, especially the older Chumashim, not like the new article Chumashim, they put Mikel Kamocha in the middle. Okay, many of the old Chumashim, you're going to start with Shuva Yisrael, then they're going to have Mikel Kamocha, and then they're going to have from Yoel Vashem Nosan Koilai. The shuls that use the Haftorah book, the classic Young Israel, the Haftorah book, they have the order Mikel Kamocha. Many shuls still use that Haftorah book. They give that book to the one who gets mafter, and most shuls already today, everyone already has the article Chumashim, and the article Chumashim have in a different order, and everyone starts screaming, and everyone is getting confused, what is going on, how come the person leaning from the Haftorah book, how come he's leaning the wrong thing? If you have an Haftorah book, that's the goal, is that you should be leaning the right thing, so why is there a discrepancy between what it says the article and what's in the Haftorah book? So the truth is, this is indeed very, very confusing, and there are many opinions. And especially when you lay from cloth, it gets even more confusing because there's a halacha in the Gemara. First of all, you have to roll. It's tichah d'tzibura. And if you don't have it marked off, it's not so easy to find where you're rolling to. And also, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to roll backwards. So you're not allowed to roll backwards. So the order in Tanakh is first is Hoshea. Then comes Yoel, and the last one, if I'm not mistaken, the Treyasar is Micha. So you have to roll all the way to the very, very end. It's not so much to roll because they're very short. So there are so many. So what are the issues, and what is the minog, and what do we do? So first, let's discuss some of the issues. Everyone agrees you definitely have to lay in Shuva Yisrael. This is what is tradition. Tradition is to lay in Shuva Yisrael. Now, I'll just tell you, Derech Aga, we talk about Haftorah, I'll tell you what happened to me this past Shabbos. I went away to a very interesting place. I went to a celebration of a ger. A person became a ger this past Thursday, and this Shabbos, basically, it was like his bar mitzvah. This person is an adult, he's probably in his mid-30s, and his family made for him a beautiful, really very inspiring Shabbos, where his new family, they made him a bar mitzvah. So this person participates in, I guess you call a beginner's minyan. That's where he davens every Shabbos with the beginner's minyan, and the rabbi is a very rabbi. His name is Rabbi Ezra Cohn in Midtown. They daven in Midtown. He rents space. It's not in a shul. He rents a room, and they have when I was there, they had over 100 people, and regularly he told me he has only 20, 30 people on a regular Shabbos. For Ashani, he was planning on having over 100 people, and these are beginners. These are beginners, and it's very interesting how he conducts the minyan. He explains everything. They skip 90% of davening. It's a nice, whatever. And it's no chazar sashatz. He told me that they normally do not lane. They only lane one aliyah. I don't know how that works in halacha. They only lane one aliyah. That's what they do. So for us, because this week was going to be a big celebration that people are going to participate, so we're going to lane the entire parasha, especially the short parasha, it's no big deal, in the entire parasha. So he made photocopies of the entire parasha, but he forgot to make a photocopy of the Haftorah. And this is not a shul, this was a rented space in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere at a place, there's not even an Erev. Even in Manhattan, where there is an Erev, this was in a section of Manhattan where there was no Erev. So, Lechol Hadeus, you don't have to have nothing to fight about. There's nothing to fight about. There is no Erev period in this location. So, we come there to davening. What?
34th Street.
You know, I don't even know where it was. It was a 25 minute walk. I don't even know. I just followed the group. Yeah, the list Shabbos. I don't even know. I just followed the group. I have no idea where they took me. It was a 25-minute walk to get to this place. We went. It was very nice. We davened, and we lay. We davened, and we laned, and we got to the Haftorah, The kiddush was not that great, no. Had a good hechsher, but the food wasn't all that great. It was fine. But we got to the Haftorah, and guess what? There's no Haftorah. The rabbi apologized. He apologized, says, we don't normally learn the Haftorah. So I forgot to make photocopies of the Haftorah. There's no Haftorah. So I said to him, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the halacha is, you don't have to learn the Haftorah. You can learn any Haftorah. You can learn any, isn't that the halacha? I didn't have, there was no Mishnah Berurah to look anything up. I said, as far as I remember, me'ikar hadin, you don't have to learn anything specific. You learn from Nevi'im. You learn min yonah d'yoma. Min yonah d'yoma, so you pick something. So I just said, so can you find here in the back of an art school sitter an Haftorah? Shuva Yisrael, find something in the back of a sitter? So he says, no. The Siddurim they use were these interlinear, whatever, I don't even know what they're called. There was literally nothing. Nothing, not even one word, not even one, no. He didn't even have that, as I told him. Tina Sieber. We looked, nothing. So then he remembered that he has stashed away somewhere in the back a Yom Kippur Machzor. And in the Yom Kippur Machzor, there are two Haftorahs after Shachar, Soilu from Yeshaya, or Yoina. So we laned Soilu, we laned that Haftorah. I figure it's Yeshaya. The Yeshaya is cool in the Chemta. It's cool in the Chemta. Soilu, clear a new path. It's before Rosh Hashanah. Also, I'm sure we can find something there that relates to the Ger, right? That relates to Yonah Dioma. We did it. Okay, we did it. There was a Lubavitcher there who was apprehensive. He didn't want to do it, but he finally came around to see my opinion, and he agreed, and he landed, he made the bracha. So I went home afterwards. I right away called up my brother, who lives in Lakewood, and I told him what we did. So he said to me, well, there's a very famous story with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, where there was a bar mitzvah boy who prepared the wrong Haftorah. He prepared the wrong Haftorah. He spent an entire year preparing the Haftorah as a weak boy. And then they realized it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and he's supposed to lay in Hashemayim Kisi. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it doesn't matter, it's okay. You don't have to lay in Hashemayim Kisi, you can lay in the Haftorah of the Parshas HaShavua, it's okay. You don't have to lay in B'davka, what it says in the Chumash, it's okay. And he knows people are going to challenge this psak, so he walked, he was in his 80s already at that point in time, and he walked a long distance to be at this bar mitzvah, so no one should start up with the family when they lay in the house. They're not going to start up with him, so they did this. So this is what he did, and my brother said to me, this is his psak, but you should know there was a lot of controversy. This is what he doesn't know the details, but there was a lot. So he said to me, we're still doing research. I asked a lot of people over Yom Tov, this Shaila. No one has an answer. Basically, the impression I'm getting is, me'ikar hadin, we did the right thing, but it's like halacha v'ein moirin kain. It's, you're right, you can lay in any Haftorah, but in this day and age, no one is an Amadrega where you can start selecting other sections of Tanakh to decide what should be the Haftorah. It seems that, I don't know, we're still trying to get answers. We're still trying to get answers, but my first impression is that Poiskin, Major League Poiskin, would have preferred us to just not lay in the Haftorah at all. So you don't lay in the Haftorah because you're making many brachas. Did after the fact what we did is good. It's not a bracha levatala. After you did it already, it's good. It's, you did what is correct me'ikar hadin. But today, that's just not the way we do it. Interesting shaila. Okay, this shaila became much more relevant when it comes over here discussing Shabbos Shuva, because it's very, very confused. Now, what are the issues? Just want to throw out the issues very quickly. Issue number one is, the Haftorah has to be 21 psukim. He's supposed to lay 3 psukim per aliyah. The Haftorah of Shuva Yisrael is much less than, it is only 9 psukim. That's, there are a few that are less. So there's an exception. That if Solik in Yana, that if it's a complete section in and of itself, it's good b'di'evit. It's not a lechatchila, but it's good b'diavad. So here it's 9 psukim, solik in yana, even though really it should be 21 psukim. That's problem number 1. Problem number 2. It ends off on a bad note. Ufayshim yikosh lubam. Tzadikim yelchubam. Tzadikim go in the ways of the Torah. Upayshim yikosh lubam. It's not a good thing to end off right before Yom Kippur. All of the Rishoyim stumble in the ways of the Torah. It's not a very pleasant thing. Okay, that's issue number 2. So what's the solution? The solution is to find psukim nearby and to be mamshech in order to end off with something that is pleasant. So what is nearby? What's nearby is this beautiful psukim from Yoel. It's the next sefer. It's right a few psukim later on, the Yoel. We skip 11 psukim. V'Hashem nosan koilo lefnei chelo ki rab mod machaneu ki otsuma. The beautiful words. The only problem is it's very long. It's a very long section, and it's tircha ditzibura. The nice thing to end off with would be with micha. Micha, mikel, kamoicha, noise, oven, v'oiver, al pesha. I mean, what more do you want? That's, you can't get better than that. It's that's the best thing, the best candidate. The problem with that is, it's very, very far away. Well, today nothing is far away because we have very long cloth, and you can probably roll it very quick, but theoretically, it's very far from Shuva Yisrael. Shuva Yisrael is the beginning of Treyasar, and Mikel Kamocha is the end of Treyasar. So, it's far away. This Tircha Ditzibura, it's very long. So what do you do? Well, if you have Chumashim, it's really no big deal, because everything anyway is printed. The prohibition of going backwards appears not to be a problem, because it's printed from Chumashim. So the truth is, now let me just first say, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says that it's a mistake. He writes, I saw the tshuva inside, it's a short tshuva, it's in Chelek Aleph, or Chaim Chelek Aleph, I think it's in Simin Kuf Ayin Hey, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kuf Ayin Hey, something in that area. He writes that the fact that it's printed in the Chumash, 3 Haftaros, 3 different sections, is a mistake. And you only should lane 2. And being that Micha is so far away, you should not lean from Micha, you should just lean for Hashem Nosa. Now he really is focusing on leaning from Klaf. He writes in his yeshiva, they have Klaf, and they wanted to know what to do, so we told them, you can't go do what it says in the Chumash, in his Chumashim from the printing house. They had the Chumashim where he had Micha. You can't go backwards, he says. That's Mamash Shalek Halacha. To go lane Shuva Yisrael, and then lane Mikel Kamocha, and then go back to V'Hashem Nosan, is Shalek Halacha, he says. That you can't do. So to go lane both, that's also not necessary, because the only reason why you're learning something else is because you don't want to end off on something that's on a bad note. So he's very explicit that if you're learning from Klaf, you should only learn Shuva Yisrael and the Hashem Nosan Koiloi and not learn Mikel Kamocha. That's what he writes in the Shuvah. Chumash, I guess you do whatever you want. Now the Mishnah Berurah really talks about this, and he quotes the Rav Moshe, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Degel Miravava. The Degel, this is probably how it got into the printer. The Degel Miravava says, it depends on the year. If, like this year, what are we learning this week's Parsha? We're learning Parshas Vayelech. So when you lane Vayelech, then you should lane Hashem Nosan Koiloi. I don't know if I've got all the details, because in this Haftorah there's a relationship between this and Parshas Vayelech. But when you lane Hazinu for Shabbos Shuvah, then you should lane Mikel Kamocha. That's what it says in the Degel Miravava. Maybe let me just read it to you. It's a little bit late, so I don't want to keep you here too much overtime. But okay, you look it up over here. It's in Siman Tov Chof Ches Sifkat and Chavav. He writes, talks about exactly what you should lay in this week. So this makes a distinction between this week and between Vayelech. Rav Moshe says that the distinction of the Dagol Miravava is dochuk. It's forced. And he disagrees. He says the only thing you have to learn on every single year, you just learn what it says over here, V'Hashem Nosan Koilai. Halacha l'maisa, I asked around the Minhag Olam. Appears to be to lane all three. I don't know. That, no matter what, even Maklaf. I asked around, I asked Bali Kriya Mumchem. The reason why is because where I daven, they recently got Klaf. They got a Yeshaya, and it appears that we're going to be getting a Treyasa for Shabbos Shuva, and they wanted to know what to do, and they asked me, they gave me the assignment to find out what is the halacha, what to do. So I called up the first Bal Kriya Mumcha that I know, and he told me, Rav Moshe says, you're only laying two. He gave me the Tshuva, he gave me the Mishnah Berurah, I learned the Mishnah Berurah, the Tshuva. He said, what more do you want? So I went back to the Rav, and I told him, he says, who did he ask you? He told me right away, he knew who I asked. He says, yeah, I know that's what he was going to tell you. But I want you to now to find out what is the minhag ha'olam. It's true, that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says, but tell me what they do in all of the yeshivas. What is the minhag ha'olam? So I was shocked. Rav Moshe says, this is what you do. What? That's the end of the story, right? But it turns out that it's not the minhag ha'olam. The minhag ha'olam is to lane all three from, we have klaf. And even from the chumash, it appears the art scroll has changed the order. The art scroll has changed it. They've changed. They really, it's very chish what the art scroll did. They changed the order because all of the old chumashim, less man the polik, have Mikel Kamocha in the middle, not at the end. And that's why there's a lot of confusion because, and supposedly, the reason why the chumashim have all three is because they're presenting you what you do. They're giving you two, and they're doing like the Dagol Merivava. In a year, like most years, it's Hazinu. You lay Mikel Kamocha. In a year like this year, then you lay V'Hashem Nosan Koiloi. And somehow they left out those instructions, and then it became the minhag to lay all three, and then people started wondering, why are we going backwards? Why are we going backwards? But the Chumashim really only meant it to be one or the other, and they put the more common year first and the less common year second. And now somehow became the minhag to lane all three. So now it became the minhag to lane. If we're going to lane all three, we might as well lane them in order as they appear in the Sefer. And now how others are ever say, no, there's a reason why you should lane all three, but lane first Mikel Kamocha, because the Gemara Chazal say that Micha was the same, lived at the same Tkufa as Hosea. Hosea and Micha were buddies. Hosea and Micha were buddies. They were a part of a team. So if you're going to lane, you lane those two together, and then you go backwards and you lane Yoel. Yoel lived at a different kufa. He was not the same. He was not together with Micha and Yoel. So that's the reason why indeed you should lane first Hosea and then Micha and then lane Yoel. But the minhag ha'olam today in this generation appears to be to lane all three, whether you lane from a chumash or whether you lane from klaf, and to go in the order the way it appears in Sefer Treyasar, first Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, and then the Hashem Nosan Kol, to lane the entire thing, even though you really could skip a couple of psukim, and then to lane Mikel Kamach. That appears to the minhag ha'olam. Rav Moshe says it's a mistake, probably because of Dagol Merivava, to differentiate. And then these are the issues when it comes to this week's Haftarah. Okay, we'll stop here.